Petersfield's Shine Radio.
Hello, I'm Geoff Lacey.
And I'm Claire Venice.
We're back to recording remotely.
But that won't stop us from bringing you...
The Peapod. In this week's Peapod, Claire talks to Nick Rook Blackstone from Wild Farm about his very popular local Christmas tree farm and finds out how they intend to manage their busiest time of year in a pandemic.
Geoff has his weekly chat with the Petersfield Post's John Walker, and Susie has been walking in Rookie Wood, where she stands in a glade to consider dusk and colour.
We'll also bring you music from former TPS student Rhea T with her debut song I'm Done. So stay tuned as we bring you the first of our second lockdown remote Peapods.
If you love Petersfield...
I love the square.
It's a lovely, lovely town.
The hangers.
Everyone's welcome.
Then the Peapod loves you.
It's just a nice town.
Everything Petersfield is in the Peapod with Claire Venice and Geoff Lacey.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
Hi, Geoff. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Not too bad. How are you enjoying second lockdown?
I don't know if enjoying is really the right word. It's not hugely different for us, I have to say. I do miss popping into town and going to the shops. I was out for a walk this weekend and I think it was busier out in the countryside than it was actually in town, unfortunately. Or maybe fortunately, depending what you want, I suppose.
Well, I had to work in Petersfield this week. And I've got to say, with the high street closed due to the sewer issue, there was actually virtually no one in the high street. Certainly is. And joining us on this recording is Harrison RB. Harrison, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you doing? It's good to get the band back together again. I know I came to one at Gallery Number 30. I think it was back in September, wasn't it?
It was our relaunch.
Yes.
It was.
Great fun. It's good to be back with you guys.
It's great to have you, mate.
It's good to be remotely recording again with you, Harrison, actually. I've missed this.
Yeah, it's so good to be back together again. Even though it's weird times and all that, it's nice to be doing this again.
So, Harrison, you have a show on Shine Radio every Monday to Thursday, is that right?
4 o'clock Monday to Thursday afternoons, yes.
And what's in your show?
Well, great music, of course, the brighter mix of great music, but also I just like to have a chat, basically, about whatever the day brings, local information, maybe the occasional terrible joke as well. Oh, and surprises as well. Surprises, lots of surprises.
Cool. So, weekend just gone, was Remembrance Sunday. Were either of you able to pay your respects in your own way?
Yes, well, we did at home.
We observed the silence. We listened to the ceremony on Shine Radio, of course. Which you did a fine job of presenting, Geoff, I have to say.
Yes, how was that, Geoff?
It was great to be a part of, to be able to bring the ceremony to the people of the Petersphere. I always find it very humbling. You hear the names being read out. But one thing I was able to add to my commentary about remembering those that survived the war but had suffered such serious injuries, and their names aren't on the memorial or anything like that. And I just wanted people to remember them as well. From a purely selfish point of view, my grandfather was seriously injured in the war, and he lived for 50 years with the pain that every day he was in pain through injuries suffered in the war. Glad to be able to have the opportunity to mention them.
Yes, important, isn't it? Important to remember what everybody did back then. And your grandfather, that's quite a thing for him.
Yes, but it didn't stop him. He ran a bookmaker's in the town. He ran the Jolly Sailor pub, which is now apartments and flats. So, yeah.
He made his mark.
He certainly did.
Well done, Geoff. You know, it's a good job done in very unusual times.
Yes, I did get a message from a friend of mine. I have mentioned him on previous Peapods, my friend Martin in Texas.
Oh, hello, Martin.
He was in the services. He sent me a message this morning saying, just listen to the Remembrance Service from Petersfield. Good job. Thank you for bringing it to us all who weren't there. As a veteran, it's always an important day. Yeah, it was lovely to receive that. So hope you're well, Martin, and thanks for the message.
Coming up, John Walker from the Petersfield Post has a chat with Joff, and we'll find out how Nick Rook Blackstone from Wilds Farm plans to sell their Christmas trees this year.
First, though, in these difficult times, it's so important we support our local small businesses. Shine Radio is currently running a Shop Local campaign. Even though many of the shops cannot currently open, they are offering online services, so let's all do our best to help them.
Throughout lockdown, Petersfield's Shine Radio is your source of essential, fact-checked local information. To share information with us, call Petersfield 555 500 or email team@petersfieldradio.uk. Petersfield's Shine Radio. You make it shine.
I met up with the Petersfield Post chief reporter John Walker after the remembrance ceremony in town on Sunday for a socially distanced walk, and we caught up on recent news in the Petersphere. Now it's time for my weekly catch-up with John Walker. This week, we're actually in Winton Court Gardens on the Sunday after the remembrance service because we're now recording the Peapod remotely. Maybe the last time I can see John for a while. So whilst we're both down here in the high street paying our respects, I thought I'd catch up with John. How are you? How's your week been?
Not too bad, thanks, Geoff. Could be better. Love lockdown, don't you love it? It's fantastic fun.
Yes, it's week one, and yes, it's like we're back in May and June again, isn't it? But without the nice weather.
It certainly is a bit of a colder groundhog day, to be fair. But hey, it is what it is, and I'm sure we're going to get the hang of it.
That's right. So, what's going to be in the Petersfield Post this week?
Well, we were lucky to have our photographer here at the Remembrance Sunday Parade, so there'll be a spread of pictures on that. And it was nice to see that the mayor, who asked people not to turn up, was actually doing that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and I estimate there was probably about 50 people who did turn up, all socially distanced, and the mayor said she was very pleased to see that. So there'll be a bit of a write-up about that. I suspect we're going to get a couple of letters about the amount of people who ignored the whole thing driving past the end of the high street. And people cycling and walking through the commemoration service while it was going on, which everybody can take their own view on that. I was personally horrified by the walkers and the drivers.
Yeah, it's they closed the road for the 2 minute silence, but through the 10 minutes of the service and then the wreath laying, the road was reopened. So the audio of the of the service will pick up a lot of the passing traffic, which is a shame. But I suppose normally the road is closed because of the number of people who come along to attend. In the past, it's got up to a couple of thousand or so. So perhaps they thought with less numbers there, it's something we didn't have to do.
Yeah, maybe that is the case. And you're right, in previous years, that road has been shut for 15, 20 minutes. And this year was different, but I still think it showed a lack of respect from people to be out driving at that particular moment in time. But also it makes you wonder whether perhaps on the wider country, away from the television and the villages, your average person doesn't actually think as the rest of us do.
I suppose times are a-changing, and as the years go by, perhaps people are potentially beginning to forget the reason for this service and this day.
Yeah, that could be some of it. I mean, I honestly don't know. I was just, personally, I was, as I said, horrified that the number of cars that were driving past the end of the high street right on or about 11 o'clock and the number of people who were just walking through the commemoration service, not even acknowledging it, and even, I think, a couple of cyclists. But, as you say, Geoff, times are changing. And whether it's for the better or the worse, we shall only know after coronavirus and Brexit.
So, normally we record on a Monday evening, and it's gives you another 24 hours to think about what's going to be in the Peaceful Post. Now we're recording this Sunday morning. Do you know what's going to be in this week's Post?
There's going to be a bit on the Remembrance Day. There's... have you got any loud music? Or this is where a lorry should go past. And they go, and thank you very much, John, for that. That was very interesting. There's going to be walks. There's a very good piece, I have to say. I was quite impressed. That's been submitted by someone about the car wash in the central car park and the effect that that's having on the physic garden. because it's so noisy and it's right behind the Physic Garden, and the Physic Garden is meant to be an oasis of calm in the town. And I think that that is going to get a few people's backs up in the council offices, because he's laid the blame fairly at their door for allowing it, when in the Petersfield neighbourhood plan it says that the Physic Garden was meant to be extended into the car park, as it were. There's going to be a green area in there. So it's all going to be, that'll be interesting, I'm sure.
That's one that's going to run and run, I feel.
I suspect, yes. And again, it's a sign of the times. You've got, hark at us old codgers. I remember when. But no, it is. And the council have to make money. They want to make money out of the car wash. The Physic Garden say it shouldn't be there. It's two sides of Petersfield. It's what Petersfield's becoming. It's not a little market town anymore. It's a commuter sleep town. So there we go, I think. Personally, other views are available.
Brilliant, John. Take care, mate.
Cheerio.
Thanks, John. And the Petersfield Post is out every Wednesday and costs 75 pence. So please get one with your weekly shop or subscribe to the digital version. A bargain.
Nick Rook Blackstone from Wild's Farm tells us how his Christmas tree farm plans to open later this month. But that's after Susie Wild's weekly wild walk. She's in Rookie Wood this week, enjoying the colours of the season.
Well, I did the most wonderful wild walk under the shade of a tree. And then when I listened back to it, there was awful radio interference, which I'm not going to inflict on you. So I've remembered all my thoughts. I've crept back home into my writing cabin, but I've asked my producer, John Wellsman, if he could tack this bit onto the front so that you get the genuine article. So, well, kind of genuine article. So it's not exactly the middle of Durford Wood. It's underneath the spreading walnut tree in my garden, but mostly because it was a bit dank by then. It's half inside my writing cabin. So there you are. I'm still speaking to you, but I so wanted to share the excitement of autumn colours with you.
You may hear a dog. There's sometimes a dog barking off somewhere. It won't be rain. Because it's now dusk and it's quite early, it must be 4:30 at the latest. Because we're here and because now the clocks have gone back, there are black trunks all round. And I love this time of night. It's really almost exciting. I think I'm like a dog. Rain has been romping around because I think there are different animals that come out in the evening. But one of the things I completely love about this time of year is the fact that it is getting dark, but still so early. So it's not really particularly frightening. And it's just that moment in autumn where the leaves have turned from green, on the whole have turned from green, to a very vivid yellow, so that looking through this glade, and the reason I've stopped here, is that there's something, I can't tell what, possibly a silver birch or something, a very young tree, but all its leaves just look like a firework going off. But it's very still. There's no movement at all. So it's just this sort of flame of fairy lights that is constantly there. And even the bracken, which I don't like very much in the summer, because it's very dark green and gives me a rash and so on, some of it has become the most intense yellow. So it looks like there's a pool of sunlight coming down through into the clearing. It's one of those things with nature, and I'm thinking about colour in particular, but also some shapes and forms, is I don't know why it has to be so beautiful. I'm sure it could function without being so astoundingly wonderful and mood-lifting. What do I mean by that? So, don't tell me it's photosynthesis. I know, I understand the sort of botany and so on of it going on. And I'm reminded of a friend who was sitting on a jumbo jet ready to take off and turned to her husband, made the mistake of turning to her husband and saying, "Isn't this magic? I never understand how something this big can get up into the air." And he spent most of the trip, probably to America, explaining exactly the aerodynamics of it. So I don't mean that. I mean the thing that is so astounding is that the photosynthesis and everything results in something so breathtaking, and it doesn't need to be the startling red of a Canadian fall. It simply needs to be the wonder of Durford Wood that I see at all times of year, but then suddenly it will take your breath away. Rain, she's being very good and actually staying by me. But here we are. And I think colour is so important. And as we've been standing here, you can see that it's obviously the sunlight that is making the colours so vivid. And as the sun has, well, it's gone now, really. We're just waiting for the moon to show. But as it gets, sinks lower and lower, less and less light, so all the colour is leaching so that it's becoming grey and indistinct. So it's when you start tripping over tree roots and so on, because it's just, it's hard to differentiate between the two. But at the moment, there are still these shocks of incredible light. But I just thought I'd leave you with a bit, because I've actually remembered it on the walk. I was thinking about it, thinking, will I get back to the car before it's pitch dark? And I'm going to make sure I am, so don't worry about me. But I rehearsed this bit of Macbeth, because I think I've mentioned it to you before and not got beyond the first line, but I think I've got it now. Light thickens, and the crow makes wing to the rookie wood. Good things of day begin to droop and drowse, while night's black agents to their praise do rouse. There's the dog back, you see, to protect me, but ruining my suspense. But I hope you could hear the crows or the rooks.
Susie's Wild Walk was recorded before lockdown, but her walks will continue as before to bring the outdoors in the company of a friend, plus a dog.
The P stands for Petersfield.
I like going to the open air swimming pool and shopping.
The P Pod.
Wild's Farm is located in the midst of Liss Forest. It's a small acreage family-run farm that's committed to growing quality, sustainably farmed Christmas trees and providing a family Christmas experience. It's also a very popular location, as not only do they sell a wide variety of freshly cut Christmas trees, the farm offers an après-tree bar, a shop, go-karting, face painting and a couple of friendly pigs.
Nick and Sophia Rook Blackstone have worked hard to create a memorable Christmas experience, and I spoke to Nick before lockdown about the farm and how they plan to open this year in the midst of the pandemic. Here is a shorter version of our chat. You can listen to a longer interview, including the history of the farm, on petersfieldradio.uk. I'm here with Nick from Wild's Farm. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Well, it's such a gorgeous day to come here. I'm so pleased we could meet before lockdown. It is a special place here. It has a beautiful entrance as well. So as you drive up the straight pathway to come up here, you know you're sort of entering some magical world. It does have that feel about it. So tell us, how are you planning to open the farm? Obviously, it has become hugely popular, and year on year, I believe you're building more and more custom. So how has the pandemic affected you this year?
In many ways, it sounds terrible, but we took advantage of the fact that we had a lot of downtime in the spring and we could really concentrate back at the farm. I have a gardening business on the side of the farm, or alongside. Normally we're really busy on that, and it rather takes us away from what we should be doing back here. This year, we didn't have to do that, and we focused at the farm, and we really got ahead of on planting, weed control, pest control, fencing, all the things that affect the trees. We didn't sit idle through those 3 months. We did a lot of infrastructure as well. We always knew that there was the potential of the second pandemic, and we've been watching it through the year. And I have to say, we possibly took our foot off the pedal a bit and thought we'll be okay. It looked like we were going to be okay. And then obviously, September, we all began to realise that things were not looking good. October came, and then we started getting nervous. Come on, when is this lockdown going to happen, or this 2 week one? Obviously that didn't take place. And then we really had to kick in, okay, what are we going to do? And apart from what all businesses should be doing to be COVID safe, which are signage, making sure that all our payment areas are secure. We've done a lot of infrastructure here. In fact, we're standing under a barn that we've reconstructed to enable us to change our netting area so that people can queue in a safe environment. We're changing where the cut trees are so that there's more space for people to wander around those. We're trying to cut down on queues. So we're putting in extra payment areas. We'll take cash, card payments, but we'll do it in a system so that people are not standing around for too long. One of the big changes this year, when it comes to having had your tree netted, we used to let people sort of put them in a bay, walk away and come back 2 hours later to pick them up. This year, when they've got their tree, they take it straight to their car. They can come back, of course, if they want to walk around, but it stops yet another queue to go and pick their tree back up. Car parking, we're parking everybody in the front field. There's going to be a one-way system for pedestrians. There'll be a meet and greet where we will then obviously have the hand sanitizers and everything. The meet and greet will tell you where to go in order to walk to get your tree or to go and get cut trees. So that's the first thing there. Obviously, any covered areas, there will be, we ask people to wear masks. Obviously outside, they don't have to. So yes, and then it's a one-way system back out. So people will follow one ways. The shop will have a one-way system, the bar, if we're allowed to open it. And we'll get onto that. We're not doing alcohol this year because we can't do table service. But we hope to do hot drinks. We've increased the area outside for social distancing as well. The biggest thing that we will probably have to implement is a ticket system.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been so anti this because we've never had people never charge for admission. However, it looks like there's quite a hefty administration fee involved with creating a ticket fee. So we'll probably have to cover that cost at £2 per individual. I don't know at this stage. Mm. I know it also takes a couple of weeks to set up. So we are getting very close to our want to open date before that will go live. So we request that people just keep an eye on our website. We've got a COVID page and we will update that every time that we know something is going to change. And hopefully we'll get the message out there.
Yes, because at the moment, well, before lockdown, you were hoping to open on the 21st of November. Is that still to be confirmed? Or are you waiting to hear a bit more about that?
It still has to be confirmed. I'm hoping the Christmas Tree Growers Association have lobbied hard that all Christmas tree farms are classified as garden centres. I mean, we are at the end of the day. I think it's slightly ironic that, you know, our local garden centre can sell Dutch Christmas trees when we can't sell our English grown ones. I mean, that would be ironic in itself. But we'll see.
Thanks so much. And we wish you all the best for a successful Christmas tree selling year.
Thank you.
Look forward to coming to get mine.
Brilliant.
Thanks to Nick Rook Blackstone. We wish Wild Farm all the very best for a successful Christmas tree selling season. Stay tuned to their website for further details. wilds-farm-christmas-trees.co.uk. Now, Claire, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Are you artificial or are you real?
always real, Job. we love a real Christmas tree.
Well, I'm as artificial as they come.
I would never have said that, but there we go.
We've had an artificial Christmas tree for years. It's we got it actually from Woolworths. And Woolies has been gone years.
It has. Oh, but it was always really reliable. It's a shame that Woolies went. Gosh, how old is your Christmas tree then?
We got it before we moved back to Petersfield. So that was 2006. So yeah, about 2004, 2005.
And it's looking good still?
Still looking good, yep. So I reckon it's got another 20 years left in it. Not that I'm tight and don't want to buy another Christmas tree.
I know. Well, it's important to be aware of waste, isn't it? Isn't it really?
That's correct.
Yeah. Oh no, we tend to get a real one. We like the smell of a nice real Christmas tree.
So we've learnt something this evening then, Claire. You're real, I'm artificial.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
Local author Sasha Brooks has self-published delightful stories she created for her children and grandchildren. Yucky Poo Poo Stories is available from the 5th of November for One Tree Books, and all proceeds will go to the Save the Children charity. Look out for Lucy Davis's interview with Sasha on Shine Radio later this week.
While we wait for events to start again, tune in to shineradio.uk for a brighter mix of music. You can also keep up to date with what's happening in the Petersphere with the Morning Report every Monday to Friday, bringing you trusted local information and news.
Tune in to your favourite Shine Radio presenters during the day. Go to petersfieldradio.uk to find more information about who's on when, or choose from a variety of audio shows also available as podcasts. Search Petersfield on your favourite podcast app to find out what's on offer.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide. Just email pod@thepeapod.uk.
Music time now. Former TPS student Rhiannon Tebby, known as Rhea T, has been studying at ACM Academy in Guildford and has just released her first song on November the 4th.
Congratulations, Rhea. Here she is with her debut song, I'm Done.
It's not about me. It's not about the life I'm living. It's not about the tales you tell yourself. You know I'm not true. It doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to make me feel to help you feel great. 'Cause one day your world will stop turning.
Was Rhea T with her debut single, I'm Done. If you're a local musician and would like to submit a song for us to play, contact us at pod@thepeapod.uk.
And so we come to the end of this remotely recorded Peapod. Thanks for listening. We've come a long way, but Languish's Wi-Fi is still in the dark ages.
It certainly is. That's all too true. We'd like to thank our guests, Nick Blackstone, John Walker, and musician Rhea T.
We'd also like to say a big thank you to the fabulous volunteer team at Shine Radio. If you'd like to get involved, do get in touch. We're always happy to welcome new volunteers. We're on Petersfield 555500 or email us at pod@thepeapod.uk.
Next week, we'll find out all about Petersfield Photographic as we talk to the owner, Gary Boxall.
So from the two of us this week at my house and Joff's,
bye.
Peapod is produced by volunteers at Petersfield Community Radio.
Hello, this is Hugh Bonneville. And finally, you and I have our own local radio station right here in Petersfield. It's our station, made by the people of Petersfield, and that means we don't just have to listen, we can get involved too. We can influence what Petersfield Shine Radio does, we can help it cover our interests, and we can tell it off in public if it gets something wrong. You make it shine. So join me and support the volunteers by spreading the wonderful news that Petersfield Shine Radio is here.